This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. Welcome back in hour number four of Good Morning NoCo. I'm Brian Gary. Oh, Tanner's here
too.
Yes, Brady Hull from the Hull Show has popped in to discuss cinematic genius of the 80s.
Yeah.
We're going to dive into some back page news, but I think we need to get to the front page, which is Tanner is dumb. I think that's what it comes down to. And Brady, I know you know, but if you could elaborate.
Well, and I'm offended by the question because cheesy 80 movies, what are we talking about? There's Oppenheimer and then there's Weekend at Bernie's. That's the same class of movie as far as telling a story. I mean, it doesn't get much.
I think the comparisons between those two have been rich ever since the movie came out.
Correct. And did they make a sequel to Oppenheimer? I don't think so. They made a sequel to Weekend at Bernie's.
They did. At Oppenheimer's was a different.
So I'll be honest, I've seen Weekend at Bernie's. I have not seen Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, well, then you don't know.
You got to complete the story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, it's like watching one episode of Game of Thrones.
And say you saw it, you know everything.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any spoilers here.
Uh-huh.
Same body in the second one?
Yeah. Same body.
And it hadn't decayed. It hasn't decayed at all.
No.
No, he was well preserved. Alcohol does incredible things.
Well, and the witch doctor, put a weird spell on him.
There's
probably
a witch doctor in the second one.
Well, kind of. Yeah. How do you think he dances and moves?
Yeah, when music plays, his body wakes up and starts moving when music plays.
They found a witch doctor.
Yeah.
To do this.
I think it was a witch doctor.
It was a witch doctor.
It was a witch doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, this is great. This is not cheesy at all.
No.
That's it's almost like a Dickens story.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah,
100%. It's very smart and well thought out.
Some of these movies are just so bad, they're good.
Well,
that's not Weekend at Bernie's.
If you could, Brady, for those who haven't seen Weekend at Bernie's, could you just do kind of a rough overview of what this genius script is all about?
So there's two guys that work for this jerk of a boss, and they're trying to make a name for themselves. And they find out that the company's doing illegal stuff, so they bring it to Bernie, the boss, and they're like, hey, there's all this stuff going on. And Bernie's like, thanks, guys, you're awesome. Why don't you come to the Hamptons with me? We're going to have a great time. And they're like, we made it. Yay. Turns out Bernie was the guy committing all the illegal acts. So he goes to a hitman and says, take these dudes out. I'm going to bring them to the Hamptons. But the hitman accidentally kills Bernie.
Whoa.
But they're already there in the Hamptons having a great time. Are they going to let a dead boss ruin their weekend?
I've been told.
I don't think so.
No, I've been told you don't turn down a weekend at the Hamptons.
Darn right you don't. So they pretend that Bernie is still alive and everybody buys it. Heck, I bought it, man.
Wait a minute. Did they arrive before him without Bernie?
Yes.
And were at the place?
And then
found out of the demise of Bernie?
They see him laying in the sand and they're like, he's
found
just
his
dead.
Body.
Yeah. And then I think they tried to bury him. But for some reason, the way the tides work and stuff washed him back up and unburied him from the sand, right?
Sure, yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, he's still here. If people find us here and not Bernie, we're going to have to go and we're going to get in trouble. Let's pretend he's alive still. And then,
So you're going to have to.
Right. The boss died.
No, yeah, okay.
That's not
going to
ruin
that.
Their weekend.
So this is loosely based on the Bible.
Kind of,
okay.
I suppose.
All
right. Not necessarily, but I guess if you want to go there. But Tanner, again, it's layered.
How does the movie end?
End?
Does Weekend at Bernie's ever really end?
I don't know. It's an ongoing party.
No, I'm actually kind of serious on this. How does
I'll be honest, I don't remember.
I thought he died. That's what
Well, clearly they find out at the end, but I don't think they get in any trouble because they're like, a misunderstanding. You know, you faked this like this guy was alive for a while. You didn't want your weekend to end.
No, nobody has a problem with that. Everyone understood.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys wanted to hang out for the weekend.
Oh,
so
my God.
Rather than reporting this.
You know what? I'm going to ask Havel and Andy how many different charges they would have been facing for tampering with a dead body.
None, because the cops would understand that they didn't want their weekend to end.
Exactly. It was the Hamptons. Did you not hear that part?
Yeah. They didn't want to go home. They wanted to continue to party. I mean, I don't know what else you want. And then they made a sequel.
Yes, which I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where they got the body. Because at the end, people find out that Bernie was dead.
He's dead.
But then in the sequel, the body just, it's back. So what happened there?
Some of that Hollywood magic.
That's just great writing.
Yeah, well, it truly is.
This is what happens when Brady only has an hour and a half of a show today.
Oh, no. I think about Weekend and Bernie's at least 14 times a day.
Is that your favorite 80s movie?
My favorite movie ever.
Just period.
Yeah.
It's just Weekend at Bernie.
It's Weekend at Bernie.
Yeah, let's be
Tanner, the boss is
too.
Dead, but they're in the Hamptons already. They're not going to let it ruin their weekend.
Oh, and everybody buys it.
Yeah.
You know?
I bought it. I forgot he was dead. Halfway through the movie, I'm like...
Oh, and he was dancing?
I'm waiting for his lines to drop. Why don't they give Bernie any... Oh, that's right. He's dead. And they're faking like he's alive.
It was so realistic.
I think
you've
talked yourself so much into this that you actually believe...
Of course I do.
Okay.
I have it on DVD, bro.
But you don't think it's cheesy?
No, not at all.
So what is the best cheesy 80s movie?
80s movie?
We're getting The Princess Bride.
The Godfather, maybe?
Airplane.
That's cheesy. Yeah.
Was that not 70s, though?
Okay. No, wasn't the sequel?
He just keeps doing this to our guests. Havala comes in here, says something. He's like,
that
was
Greece, and that was 78.
Wasn't the sequel 80s? Godfather 2?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe
three,
not.
Maybe
not.
Maybe three.
How about Gremlins?
Oh, the new batch?
Did they do a second one?
Of course.
They made plenty of those. And
how
you don't feed the. What's the little one? You don't
Mowgli.
Feed. Yeah, the cute one.
Yeah, the Ewok. The Mowgli. Mowgli, not an Ewok. He looked like a little Ewok. Mowgli.
Are you sure?
Wasn't it? No, Mowgli was the guy in the
that
Jungle
was
Book.
Jungle Book.
Yeah, don't feed him either.
Sparky
that kid
or
goes
something?
Crazy.
What was the little
Sugar
cute
Mountain
gremlin?
Dew, he's jumping all over the jungle.
The cute gremlin. And you don't feed him after midnight.
What was Gizmo?
Gizmo.
Yeah. Gizmo.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
I totally see how you got Mowgli out of that.
Everyone settled down on this, but yeah. I was working at Hardee's when Gremlins came out, and the toy that you got with a Hardee's kids meal was a little 45 record of the Gremlins.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
you still have one?
Yes.
It's probably worth millions.
If your house gets broken into and there's only one thing missing, it definitely wasn't Brady and me.
You did not come in and steal that from me?
Texts are here wondering if your wife likes Weekend at Bernie's as well.
No, she's not into that movie. She doesn't get it. She doesn't grasp it.
You talk about that before you got married?
Yeah, it was one of the first things I brought up.
Was
and
it?
She's like, I've never seen that movie. And that was almost a non-starter.
Was that a deal breaker?
And then when I explained it to her, she just couldn't grasp the plot.
The depth.
Yeah, right.
The depth of this movie.
Somebody just said Mannequin. That was a really good movie. And that was the guy that was in Weekend at Bernie's was in Mannequin.
Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah.
Was he Bernie or was he one of the other fellas?
No.
Let me just make...
It wasn't boss material.
Tanner. Let me be clear, but the boss was dead, so he couldn't have been
in
anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
All and right. In Mannequin, the mannequin's just a mannequin that comes to life.
To life. Yeah, very nicely. Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, Kim Cattrall. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mysterio, was Days of Thunder an 80s movie or early 90s?
I think that was 80s.
That was 80s. I was, working at Hardee's. We sold the Days of Thunder cars.
Love Days of
and
Thunder.
And I still have a box of them. We've got a whole box, so if you need any Days of Thunder mellow yellow cars...
Dude, this is not just a platform for you to sell your old junk.
Yes, it is.
Brian's going to be a millionaire.
I am going to do so good. Welcome to Ebry.
Mysterio said, because that was probably one of the greatest movies ever.
Yeah, it was an amazing movie.
Days of Thunder was epic.
Yeah, I watched that all the time.
I don't know why I can't.
Cole Trickle.
Yeah.
I can't recall that movie for some reason with Tom Cruise, right?
The driving race cars all over the place.
Yeah, it was during the Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
Roadhouse. This was a top nominee for me early, was Roadhouse. That was so, I mean, explain the plot of Roadhouse for us, Brady.
I was too busy with Weekend at Bernie's. I actually never watched Roadhouse.
Wait, that's a real thing?
Yeah, I never watched Roadhouse. I was just not into it. Nope. Same with, I've watched it, but I'm not a fan of it, is Top Gun. I'm not a big Top Gun guy. You know, it's basically Days of Thunder and Jets.
And you just said how great Days of Thunder was.
Days of Thunder is great, but you know, I don't need to see them in the air. I just like the car.
You've never seen Top Gun?
No, I've seen it. I'm not into it.
You've never seen Roadhouse?
No, never seen Roadhouse.
I still have my Top Gun Nintendo game,
and it could be yours for $69.99.
Days of Thunder video game.
Absolutely, yeah.
We do have a taker for one of those cars, by the way. Mysterio wants one of those cars.
He does want one. Yeah. I can hook you up, bro. I really can. I've got a bunch of them.
Yeah, Roadhouse was so.
How about the Karate Kid?
So good. Yeah, that was
one
of the early ones,
and that definitely fits into 80s cheese.
But I love the Karate Kid.
You don't think that, what was it, 16 Candles Breakfast Club?
I don't think it's actually cheesy. I do, all kidding aside, I think it's, there's a lot of depth to that movie, seriously. Because it's talking about all these different personalities that hate each other on a daily basis. And that was something we didn't talk about as much. And now that, you know, they make What's in Your Generation Mean Girls or whatever, like they do that kind of stuff all the time. But that they didn't make a lot of movies like that, where the nerds are coming together, the jocks are coming together.
Yeah, where it was like, hey, you're okay, I'm okay.
Everybody's okay.
People don't realize the deep impact that Breakfast Club has had on our society.
Breakfast Club's a great movie.
I'm not saying it's not a
great movie. I don't think it's as cheesy as like some of the other ones we're talking about.
Cheesy. I mean, you can see Footloose. Right through the plot. Yeah, Footloose.
I'm not a big Footloose guy.
No.
I had a feeling. I figured out at the beginning of that movie, they're going to dance.
They just dance.
They're going to
dance. The scene where he goes and just dances because he's dancing out his frustration. I mean, again, we've all been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't need to see it on film. You know, we're all just, you get mad and you just, I'm going to dance at you.
I got to dance this out.
I'm going to dance at you right now.
That movie made me hate Kevin Bacon.
I love Kevin Bacon.
I can't stand Kevin.
What was, was it Tremors?
Tremors.
Was that 80s?
Reba. Yeah.
Yeah, but Kevin Bacon's in that.
Oh, yeah, that's 80s.
Oh, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
It's all so bad, it's good.
Tremors?
Everything,
was kind of in that world.
Everything in the 80s was so bad.
Ghostbusters.
You got Reba, Ghostbusters. You got a big worm. You got all that. That's a great movie.
Ghostbusters. That was, again, it was always about one-liners, you know? And then they made songs about the movie. Ghostbusters had its own song.
Yeah.
It's called a theme song, Brady.
They don't do that anymore.
Movies do that.
No.
Who does that now?
There's no theme.
Name a movie in the last 20 years that has a song that's like, who are you going to call?
We'll wait.
Ghostbusters. They might have theme music, but not an actual song that was written about. Wild Wild West.
Hard Out There for a Pimp.
Calm down.
Well, that was the song that he wrote in the movie, but it's not like a promotional material that was written just for that movie to promote it.
It won a Grammy.
Well,
still not fitting the category.
I don't think we're arguing the same.
You're so bad at yourself.
Like,
I was doing my Bruce Dickens.
Yeah, I know. I said you're
Will Smith. So Will Smith was the last guy that did it. He wrote, you know, they did Men in Black, and it was for the movie
Bad Boys.
Men in Black. Oh, okay. And then he did Wild Wild West, and that was for the movie
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. Yeah. So, and that, you know, again, we just, that in the 80s, that was like, let's do that all the time. Yeah.
How did Molly Ringwald land all of these spots, too? I don't think she's a very good actress.
She was perfect.
Yeah, she was a pretty good actress.
She was an everyday girl next door kind of thing.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. She played that role really well.
That's what she was supposed to do.
Sure.
Yes, she did.
Okay, I redact my statement.
Okay.
Redact? I'm wrong.
Just put a line through it with a marker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Who's Steve Guttenberg?
He was the guy who was in Police Academy 1, 2, 3,
oh, Police
4,
Academy.
5.
Those were great movies.
You'd recognize him from a lot of those Three Men and a Baby with Tom Selleck and him.
Oh, that's another good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those kind of movies at that time.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
We got War Games. After further consideration, I don't think War Games was cheesy. That was not a real cheesy movie because it was like showing the potential threats that the computer could have on the world, man.
I don't remember that movie.
I don't remember.
I don't think I saw it.
I still have
a decade older than
Nintendo NES.
I didn't see every movie that was ever made in the 80s. Just because I'm older than you doesn't mean I've seen every movie.
How have you not seen War Games? Let me guess, you haven't seen Red Dawn either.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen Red Dawn.
This friendship is dead.
That's fine.
This friendship right here.
I see that, but you're the one who started this with not recognizing the greatness of Weekend at Bernie's.
No,
yeah, it's true. That's more of a sin.
I couldn't firmly grasp
The plot?
The
boss is dead, bro. It's not going to ruin their weekend.
What is your favorite cheesy 80s movie? Let us know. By the way, it's not a movie, but when we were talking about societal differences, somebody brought up Oregon Trail, the computer class.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Now that was something.
I don't know what you're speaking of.
All right.
Cross Country USA was the one we had. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Were you a trucker? Your truck driver?
Oh, no.
I'm a truck driving man.
It's a computer game?
No, I didn't have that one. No. The Oregon Trail one was a lot of fun, though. Yeah. You had to fish, Brian. You had to hunt. You had to survive the Oregon Trail.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't play.
It's something, I think.
I was figuring out Zelda's Legend.
Oh, that was a great game, too.
I think the simplicity of the 80s is what we all kind of yearn for.
Well, that's why I like Stranger Things. It's so, again, the plot's interesting, but the fact that it's in the 80s, it takes place in the 80s, it brings people back and they connect with it so well.
Oh, it does. You don't see a phone anywhere. You don't see any of those things.
Yeah.
It was, a cool
time. Simplicity of the 80s. Something that's not very simple is the NFL draft, and we've got 97 mock drafts out there. The Broncos are picking at 12. What do we think is going to happen at 12 tonight? We'll talk with Brady Hull more about that, and I'm sure there's more to come on Weekend at Bernie's. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Worse in the 80s, just quickly, the movies or the music?
I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't understand the question.
Last two texts before we move on. 80s had the best, worst horror movies. No CGI, just terrible graphics, but so great.
I was talking about that. Yeah, that's where Jason and Freddy and
Chucky
all them came out. Yeah, oh.
He's a doll.
No.
But the funny thing is, he doesn't have any superpowers. He's just a spirit that went into a doll. So just, like, kick it.
Yeah. That was always my thought. I wasn't
Pat
afraid
McAfee,
of Chucky because I could have.
Pat McAfee is Chucky's greatest adversary.
I was terrified of Chucky. Because, when I watched it, I had toys all the time, and I'm like, what? Do I trust these guys?
No, my toys creep me out after those movies. Seeing them looking at me like that, Brownie, my little bear, never did we see the same
anymore.
See
what you texters are doing out there? You see what we're going to talk about the NFL draft, and here we are. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's the first time that's been.
I love that movie.
I've never seen it.
Really?
What? You give me crap.
Dude, what do you watch?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Did you
I don't
have?
Watch a lot of TV.
Well, it's not TV. It's a movie.
I don't
It's cinema. As they say, in the business.
Did you go anywhere? Did you do anything as a kid?
Played outside. Remember when you said you were the last generation?
Yeah, I lied. You apparently did,
too,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rocks and stones.
All right. That's nice.
The NFL draft tonight, the Denver Broncos. Got to get used to saying the Broncos. We're switching into that gear for a moment. But the Denver Broncos have the number 12 overall pick. I heard your mock draft yesterday, Brady, where you went through it. This was, I like this because you went one. One mock draft, that's all you're doing.
No, we just went 1 through 12.
No, I know. But you didn't go mock draft 2.0 or 3.0.
No, it's coming today.
It's hopefully it lives up to the standards of Weekends at Bernie, too. You've got Brock Bowers.
A lot of the mock drafts I'm seeing, now everyone's calling me crazy, saying there's no way he's going to be there. And I would have agreed with you 2 months ago. But every mock draft I'm seeing lately has Brock Bowers, in fact, hitting around the 15 spot with the Colts. So I don't know why he's dropping. If it's just, hey, we're going to get a quarterback, we're going to get an offensive lineman, we're going to get an edge rusher and a receiver. Those are the big positions right now. So I have a feeling he might be there at 12. He might not. The Jets might take him. There's a realistic chance. I think the Jets are either going to take an offensive lineman or they'll take Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
They're going to do something to help out Aaron Rodgers. And if they want him healthy, they're going to try to bolster up that offensive line. And if that's the case, I do think Bowers will be there at 12. I do think Bo Nix will be there at 12. And some people think that the Broncos just straight up take Bo Nix at 12.
That's where I'm at.
Is that a reach?
It's probably a reach, but you got to be. Are you that confident that the 5-6 teams behind you, if you do trade back into the 20s, are not going to take Bo Nix? They could. There's a few teams on that list that could very well take him. So, and you just got to be very confident, in this situation. I go back to when Josh McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow. He got information where he thought the Patriots were going to take him because they drafted Demaryius Thomas first, I think at like 21, and then there were two spots in between, and Denver ended because they had two first-round picks that year, and they took Tim Tebow. because they got information that somebody was going to scoop him, and the Patriots were going to scoop Tim Tebow, which was crazy, right? And they ended up on that team eventually. So you have to be really confident that if you move back and Bo Nix is your guy, that all those teams in between are not going to scoop him up.
How would you guys feel about Brock Bowers if they went Brock Bowers?
I'd be
12.
Good. There's three guys I'm good with at 12, and Brock's one, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr.
I'm totally down with all three of those, because I had written down Penix and Nix as that. I have no problem with either of those being a pick if we're looking at the future for the Broncos at quarterback. I have no problem rolling the dice in one of those two.
Does the fact that if they either draft position player versus quarterback change the outlook for this season?
I don't really think so. I still think they're in kind of this rebuild mode. Now there's pushback to that Sean Payton's not about that and doesn't want to dedicate to the tank, to the rebuild kind of thing. Who are the best players? I mean, give me a list of guys that you think are actually going to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs this year and the Bengals and some of these great teams in the AFC.
Is it a foregone conclusion that they will not move up in this draft?
No, I don't think so, but there was the idea that they would have to use Patrick Surtain to trade up. And I know this is probably a little thing, but they put him on their video with Randy Gratishire to reveal the old school logos. That would be a really weird look if you used him to use that as your main marketing tool, because this stuff's going to be out there for a while, and then you trade him. I know that's weird, but I think because of that, and obviously he's their best player, but you're using him as the face of your organization, so you're going to have a hard time trading that guy.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I still wouldn't be shocked to see Sutton move somewhere.
Yeah.
During this, to, you know, whether it be right away to move in a direction or later, that still wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. Outside of Surtain, you just don't have a lot of a lot of ammunition.
Yeah. Like, Sutton's not going to give you enough ammunition to move
unless
up.
You're
no,
trading.
That's what I'm saying, you know, later on, if you're looking to get a better four, if you're looking to,
I got you. We'll later in the draft, if you want to bounce back.
If you are wanting to move up, you're going to have to, obviously, first round swap. And then it's going to have to be next year's first round pick, and then maybe the year after that.
So, no, been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do that. We know who he likes. We've heard who he likes, but I just don't know if you can get there.
Now, do you think that it's a possibility if they take Bowers at 12 and they're sitting there watching Nix or Penix Jr. slide down the board, do they have the firepower to get back into the first round if they use that 12 on someone else?
I don't think so. But again, unless you're investing in future first round picks, that's all you really have.
Very interesting. 9:32 the time. We'll come back, talk more. A lot of sports going on right now, man. I love it. 9:32 the time. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Well, there's more and more reports coming out, science and studies coming out about what exactly is in our water. And some of it can be a little bit of alarming when you start talking about those plastics, Brian.
There was just another article in one of the newspapers this morning, right on the front page, talking about this. They're finding more and more of those nanoplastics.
Yeah.
You know, in our bottled water, microplastics, you know, in our rain, snow, other water resources. You know, it's all over the place. And there is a way around it, and that's Water Pros. These guys are fantastic. They can put in that filtration system and get those forever chemicals out of our water. They can put an end to the forever on those things. Limit what could be in our water. I mean, they do a great job with the water. Hey. I mean, they really do. Our water treatment plant, all that.
Defense wins championships, man.
But
they get the best defense out there for you.
Well, and just think about the amount of money you might spend on bottled water. Yeah. This will be coming out of your tap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's definitely a great investment for you and your family. Give a call to Water Pros at 303-862-5554. Or better yet, just go to waterpros.net to learn more.
All right. When we come back on the other side, get Brady's thoughts on Game 3 tonight. Lakers and the Nuggets. We'll get his thoughts on that, wrap up the NFL draft conversation as well. But first, bottom of the hour news and weather center.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
I hate the stranglehold that 80s music has on me because I can't dance at all, but it just makes me start gyrating.
Start demonstrating the fact that you cannot dance?
Yes
absolutely.
So good. Does. Welcome back in. Good morning, NoCo. We're presented by Air Solutions here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. I don't know why I'm looking up there. There used to be a sign there. There's not now. I'm Tanner Schwint. I'm a moron. Brian Gary, he's a moron as well. Brady Hole, he's joining us here this morning. Wanted to clear up a couple of things here. Did get a response back from our legal team here at KFK, which is Andy and Havala. And I asked how many charges would the fellas on Weekend at Bernie's, how much would they have been facing? All of them. Mm. All the charges is what Andy LeClaire sent back in.
They would throw that out.
I think so, too, when they saw how much fun they had.
At the Hamptons.
Greeley Gary texting in here this morning as well.
Yes.
Greeley Gary seems like a lovely individual. Said, can Water Pros filter out bad takes?
Is he a Buffs fan?
That's right.
Yeah. This guy probably has some... Yeah, got you. Tonight, game number three.
That was epic. It's still sizzling.
Of the Lakers and the Nuggets in L.A. now. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Lakers fans try and deal mentally with this. Because it's not going well for those guys right now. It's going to be different in L.A. Is it going to be different in L.A.?
I don't think... I predicted a sweep. I'm staying with a sweep. L.A. is just not... Their roster is just nowhere close to Denver's. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They have to be super, super mega stars every single minute of this game. Their other guys just... I mean, yeah, Russell had a great first half and then disappeared. A lot of guys disappeared in that fourth quarter. So... I just don't think, pound for pound, the Lakers match up very well with Denver.
Well, what was the Big Cat, Barstool Big Cat? I love the Nuggets-Lakers playoff games so much. They're all the same. LeBron plays incredible. AD plays incredible. Lakers get a huge lead. Bunch of media people say the Lakers are super dangerous. Jokic gets a triple-double. Nuggets win. It's the same.
Is that his first Nuggets game? Because that's been the Nuggets.
No, that's what he said. He's like, I love that they are all that way.
Oh, okay.
Because the outside media.
It's a formula.
Yeah, because the outside media always jumps in there and starts going at, did you hear Greenberg the other day on ESPN say, if the Lakers played anyone else in this series, in this first round, they would be dominating everybody else. I'm like, they're not. They're not. They're playing the Nuggets. They still love to drool all over the Lakers, but I think Denver's finally getting the respect they deserve in some circles, at least.
I think so. I think nationally they really are. Obviously they need to win this series because you got to take advantage of that. You're starting to get that recognition. Joker's really getting that recognition from everybody now. It's amazing what doing a couple of Minions commercials do for everybody, getting his face
about
out there.
A cinematic so cool. masterpiece.
No, I mean, it does. Those kind of things do put his name out there.
Him.
Sure.
Yes.
That's why they do it. You know, you can be a great player, but if just your local market knows about you, then that's going to be why the national side of this thing doesn't really look at you as much. So it's awesome to see this Nuggets team really take hold of this.
In that respect with Joker, does his success remind you, and you've probably brought this up on your show, of Tim Duncan and the way he was in San Antonio, where the people in San Antonio appreciated the greatness. They knew what they were seeing night in and night out. You know, with Joker, now that they're getting the exposure and continuously winning, they're seeing that. But I think it's a similar thing where we've always appreciated, but now he's really starting to get in. And the fact that you can use him in a thing like the Minions, you're looking for ways that you can market a guy outside. Where do you fit Joker in? And something like that, that shows the fun side of him that we all see, that I think it's gonna light people up even more about this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, he does those funny things like when his teammates are stretching and stuff before games, he sprints down the hall and says, I am the Lightning. And they don't even react to it because he probably does that stuff all the time. So they just continue stretching it out. And
yeah.
He has a great personality, and it is starting to pop up. Because last year, the national shtick on Joker was like, oh, we're getting so tired of him just saying, I don't care about stuff and all that. But because they don't see the fun side of him, too. He is having fun playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't care about what it is that wins the game. If he has 20 rebounds or 20 points or whatever, he honestly doesn't care. He really believes in that, I'm not a big MVP guy. I don't want the award. He does believe that.
What do you think of the old adage in the NBA that the role players always play better at home? Are you worried about that? Because some of the role players on the Nuggets, you know, that bench didn't play very well at home either. Do you expect, you know, are you worried at least a little bit about the Austin Reeves and guys like that for the Lakers playing much better at home?
Yeah, they're in LA. That's going to be, they're going to ride off that crowd. Yeah, that's a concern. Definitely. The Nuggets have been a decent team on the road, though. I know there's been a lot of talk about the altitude and stuff this year. The Nuggets are just as good as anybody in the West on the road this year. I mean, I think maybe they're two games behind one of the Pelicans were the better road team in the West this year. So I'm it's a concern. Yeah, the Lakers could win this game. I wouldn't be necessarily shocked if they do, but I just think the Nuggets are a better team, and we haven't seen a full Nuggets game from this group. I mean, they played awful in the first quarter. I don't think Jamal Murray's going to be forcing the issue in the first period like he was last time around. I think he's going to really try to let the game come to him, because I thought that's when things started to spiral for him, was he was trying to force it. So then you're missing shots, and then mentally that's starting to get to you, and it took him the entire game to really recover.
I think that LeBron block had a little something to do with that as well. That was sick.
It does, and I was wondering, in game two, Did the Nuggets, not that at this point in a season or anything you overlook an opponent or anything, but you'd just beaten a team nine times and you took what they had and you gave it to them. Could they have come out in game two and been just a touch full of the fact that maybe they could just show up and win? Because it seemed like it took a while for them to get it going, and when they did, it went. But I'm just wondering if that's...
I'm sure. I mean, they might not admit it, and they might not have expressed it outwardly, but it's human nature. How many times have we watched the Chiefs this year where it's like, yeah, they're just kind of going through the motions. Oh, and then they turn it on. Like that's part of being a great team, is you almost get bored with how good you are. And I know the Nuggets don't have a long history of that success, but recently they do. So they were essentially the number one team throughout the season this year, the favorite. So when you do beat the Lakers, you come back. Yeah, they were down 12 in game one, came back and won fairly easily.
11 points.
So I do think there's a sense of that creeps in. Like, hey, we can get down by 10. We can get down by 15. Once we turn it on, we'll be good. That's Malone's job to really try to get that out of him.
Well, I'm sure you saw his comments this week, too, but said, hey, we want to have a lead for the majority of this game. Not too big of a lead, because we know what the Nuggets have done at times this year where they take the foot off the gas with, like, the San Antonio game. But it is. I think that this team is playing with so much confidence. I can't remember the guy's name. It was it's an NBA insider. And the question was posed to him, who's the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East? He said, well, I think it's really either the Knicks or the Sixers, whoever comes out of this. And they said, okay, what about in the West? Who's the biggest threat to the Nuggets? And his answer was the injury bug. I mean, is this team just that much better than everybody else?
Their starters are better than any other starters in the league. If you get one of those guys hurt, that would put a severe dent. Even if it like KCP, that would hurt bad.
But when is the last time we've seen a team so dominant that even the national guys are saying the only thing that's going to stop the Nuggets from reaching, or this X, Y, or Z team from reaching the NBA Finals, is if something happens to one of their guys? I mean, it's just crazy how dominant this team truly is.
Oh, it's nice to see that. You know, it took continued greatness to show people that the press is starting to say those kind of things.
Who's going off tonight, Brady?
I think it'll be a Joker night. You know, I know I keep saying that, but I think it's going to be a big Joker night. Davis can give it his all in the first, and he can slow Joker down, but Joker wasn't getting into the paint. You know, he really wasn't messing with that early in the game. But I think you're going to see Davis reserved a little bit more so that he can use some of that juice in the fourth period. And that's where I think Joker's going to take advantage of that throughout the game.
No, I think it'll be fun. How are you planning out your evening? You've got the NFL draft at 6 o'clock, I believe, is the start time on that. You don't have to worry about the Rockies, so that's good news. The Lakers and Nuggets at 8 o'clock. Will you be watching the NFL draft until 8 o'clock?
I'll watch the draft leading up, and hopefully the Broncos pick before then. I don't know if it's going to match up right, but you know, once the Nuggets start up, it's go time.
Because you will not flip that channel.
Nope. Once it starts, because you don't want to take the chance of a short commercial break, come right back. You just can't. You can't do it.
What if you find out that Weekend at Bernie's is on?
Well, I have it on DVD. I can watch that literally anytime I want. So,
that's not a factor.
That's not a factor.
Is that true?
That I own it on DVD? Yeah, absolutely. Got it at Walmart for like a dollar, Brady, which is ridiculous. The biggest steal I've ever had.
So
if you go buy a couple more of them, you and Brian could have a sick garage sale.
No, we're not selling that stuff. Brian, what are we doing here?
Brian, thoughts?
No, I have none. Okay. None whatsoever. I just can't wait for the game tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, this is it's game three, big for time. Morning people. Need to get one in so we can stay up. These 8 o'clock start times are rough.
We looked at each other this morning when we sat down and we're like, why are we so tired? And Brian goes, we're staying up late every night for this stuff.
Yeah.
But we're dedicated to it. We'll get the group text going that you won't respond to. But
not until things are good.
Short show for you today. What do you got for the hour and a half?
We'll have the voice of the Nuggets, Kaz on the program, Jason Kosmitsky, and Kevin Lytle will be on to talk CSU. Yeah, love having him on the program.
That'd be
great.
Awesome. Yeah, that's got to be awesome to be able to do.
You should meet him. He's a great guy.
I'm sure he is. Love his calls.
Very tough to get a hold of, though.
Yeah, thanks for the number.
Yeah, appreciate that. I've asked.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
20 times by
that's
now.
Okay.
He's like, he's probably busy.
It's an exclusive for me.
He's I'm too busy watching Weekend at Bernie's.
We shared Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, actually. Andy's fantastic.
Yeah, I bet Kaz and McGee are too.
Yeah, they're just busy all the time.
We may just have to steal his phone. We may have to Weekend at Bernie Brady. Weekend at Bernie's. That's what we're going to have to do. 9:52 the time. Check out the whole show today, 11 until 12:30, until the true great team in Colorado plays with the Colorado Rockies. Looking to tie a series.
Yeah.
9:52 the time. We'll wrap it up with Coach Bruce Dick next. Nine 9:55 the time here on a Thursday morning. Had a lot of fun today. Going through some of the cheesy 80s movies and the music. It's been a lot of fun. Coach Bruce Dick, who remembers the 80s well, I think he was in his 50s in the 80s, joining us now in the Aloe Fiber studio.
He's rough, isn't he? He's rough, Bruce.
I was going to join you in the studio, but maybe I will exit now.
That's, well, you've already gotten here, Bruce. Yeah, you can't pretend you weren't here.
Can't leave. Hey, game three tonight. How amped up are you for this game with the Nuggets and the Lakers?
Yeah, you know, amped up, maybe. Maybe 5 out of 10. I think it's
that's lower than I thought.
You know, it's a series. I think the only chance, obviously, the Lakers would possibly have is just a sweep, and it's not going to happen. So I think Nikola Jokic will take care of business.
Yeah, we've got a producer around here that keeps trying to tell us we're saying Nikola Jokic's name wrong.
I fear that I say his name wrong all the time,
Nikola.
So I call him Joker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just where I go, because I have my own. There's Jokic, there's Jokic. I get messed up, so I just Joker.
There you go.
Yeah, just Joker.
It's Nikola Jokic.
I think the Lakers, I'm anxious to see actually kind of, you know, from the opposite end, because I can't stand the Lakers, you know, but how they come out after they left it all out on the floor the other night. Do they rebound? I think it could be a blowout in favor of the Nugs if they just can't get it together after that game two.
Do you think there's any possibility that the Lakers are sitting around going, look, remember, we're the in-season championship. We won the tournament. They're scared. We got them where we want them, all right?
And never mind that they've won 10 in a row.
No, okay. We won the in-season one.
But I do want to ask you that. Like, just as a coach, when you've had continued dominance over a team, do you start to worry a little bit that, okay, just by pure
percentages.
Do you start to worry about that?
Yes.
Are you worried about that tonight with the Nuggets?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I think it's inevitable. You have to. I mean, because sooner or later, why do we bet on the Rockies every night? You know, because we figure sooner or later.
You know they're going to break that 6-game losing streak eventually.
I hate when it gets to 12.
You know, they won one the other day. They started a new streak yesterday.
Who's pitching today? Do you guys know?
Doesn't matter.
Yes. Oh, it's Dakota. It's Kate Hudson. Dakota Hudson.
He's actually done well.
Yes.
Again, it has not been the pitching.
It is not.
It has not been the pitching.
But I think that the Denver Nuggets broke the Los Angeles Lakers on Monday night. I think that they absolutely broke them, because that was as well as the Lakers can play. and you still lost the game.
Yeah, I hope you're right, and I think you're right, actually. You know,
I think this streak gets to 12, and then probably in the in-season tournament next year, the Lakers will get our number.
I hope we can redeem that. We've got to have a better showing there, because it really is the springboard to an NBA championship.
Yeah, that in-season tournament, so vitally important. Coach, what do you got coming up on the show
Kevin
today?
Kevin Coleman, former journalist for the Denver Post, just a sports guru, knows the inside and outs of, you know, all the teams, and it's going to be fun just to have a discussion with Kevin in studio today.
No, that's always a lot of fun. Let me ask you this. I asked Brady this. Who's going off tonight for the Nuggets? Who's going to be the guy?
Well, I think Murray continues. I think just a shot like that propels a player to gain all that great confidence, and I would say Jamal Murray.
Okay. Brian?
For me, it's between KCP and Gordon, because I think it's going to be some defensive plays that are going to make the difference. It's going to be a steal here. It's going to be a block here. It's going to be a physical presence by Gordon. They're going to need to be there in L.A. for us to get this.
Yeah, game. You stole mine. I think Aaron Gordon tonight.
That's where I'm leaning a little bit.
I think
he plays well. And honestly, guys, I think he plays well every night.
He does.
You know, he's the intangible guy.
He's a little bit of a liability offensively.
A little bit.
Because the Lakers will just leave him standing in the corner. But when they made that switch and put Gordon on Davis, like, you can say, oh, Davis ran out of gas or whatever. Aaron Gordon's defense made a huge impact.
That's a lot of body.
All right, Coach Speak coming up next. We'll have a whole show 11 to 12:30. 12:30, we'll hand it over to Jack and Jerry for the Cut Rockies call. Tonight, we'll also have coverage of the Denver Nuggets pregame starting at 7:30. For Brian Gary, I'm Tanner Schwint. We love you, Northern Colorado. We'll be back for Habajiba Friday.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.